open it to the floor to the first question on the front row, the gentleman on my right.
Well, I'm Colin Leakey, and I've been a plant breeder since 1964, which seems an awful long time. And I have never had occasion to approve of plant patents. I have never had an occasion to approve of plant breeders' rights, and I think they're wholly antagonistic to progress. And I have to agree with everything we've been said, and the message is correct. The messenger has done a wonderful job. But my question, which is what I have to come to, is, having heard what you say, fully supporting everything that you say and that goes behind it, how do you get the people who are even more powerful than Monsanto to agree? How do you get to the people, if they exist, who hold more power than the chairman of corporations?
Shall we take two questions and we might deal with one? Do you want to deal with
one? I think maybe deal individually, then expression. I think that the greatest power in our country is the consumers. And I think what happened that why we were fortunate in Canada that consumers really became aware is about 5 years ago, the mainline churches in Canada got together and said this is a moral and ethical issue also. The patents on light, the control of the seed supply, the future light. So each November in all our churches in Canada, a bulletin is released about the dangers of GMO, the patents on light, the rights of farmers being taken, and so on. So the power lies in the consumer, in the knowledge, you know, that they know what is happening. Now, I was a former politician, a member of the provincial parliament. Laws are made by politicians, and pressure has to be put on the politicians, which we are doing now in Canada, to change the laws, bring the laws to protect life, and eventually, believe me, it's going to be changed in Canada. And so, I met yesterday, or the day before, I can't remember anymore, members of Parliament here in England, from the Labour Party, from the Conservative Party, from the Liberal Party. And I have to say, it was a very good meeting with all these members, because they had a good grasp all about GMOs, and they had done a lot of research, or the AIDS had done a lot of research. The power is in the people, and the people can put that pressure on the politician. I often have said that people don't really appreciate or understand the power of a letter to a politician. When I was in government, if I got one or two letters on a certain issue, it was one or two letters. But if I start getting 50, 100, 200 letters on a certain issue, believe me, it was brought up in caucus. So never underestimate the power of a letter to a politician. Not a form letter, just a simple written letter, a sentence or two is all that is needed. So that's what I would suggest.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Hey, you've just been on
you've
just been on one subject about the racing. When you're going such as the clover gene being put in wheat and grass to create nitrogen, what would you say on that?
Could you repeat? It's whether a gene that is put into a wheat crop with nitrogen. You don't have to give it nitrogen, nitrogen's within it. Is that not a good thing, essentially?
Okay, yeah. See, what we're doing here, we're doing in genetic engineering, or genetic modification, whatever you want to call it, you're doing something that nature never does. You're not taking a higher life form from one life form and transferring it by genetic manipulation to another life form. Nature never does that, and that's what makes it so different. Now, having said that, you can never transfer a gene from one life form or another by itself. You have to use what we call promoters or vectors, and in the case of canola or rapeseed, you have to use an antibiotic-resistant marker gene. So besides eating a gene that makes that plant resistant to a certain chemical, in this case Monsanto's herbicide Roundup, you're also eating a new virus or a new agrobacteria or in the case of rapeseed, antibiotic resistant marketing that was never even before. So it's totally different than what you're referring to compare it. We have a total different area. Now, I did not mention, while we're on the subject of transfer of genes, I did not mention in my presentation that another very big concern in North America is now we have plants producing prescription drugs. There are six major drugs produced in North America now by GMO plants. And believe me, this is done in the open, or as we say, in the wild. So it's bad enough for us to eat a food with GMOs in, but we now could be eating foods with prescription type drugs in our food, and that has become really a concern. We think it was absolutely criminal that the American and the Canadian governments have allowed that. But they originally were sold on the idea you wouldn't have cross-pollination, it wouldn't spread, and now it has come home to roost. It has been spreading. Six major drugs, there's more than that, and there's plastic, are growth hormones, industrial enzymes, blood thinners, blood cloggers, contraceptive drugs are being produced by plants now in North America in the open. I was at a meeting in California not too long ago, and a doctor that has done a lot of research on what we call pharma plants. And he gave examples of what was happening. He said, if you have had surgery and you come home and then eat a food laced with a blood thinner, what will the results be? He gave another example. If a woman is pregnant and then she eats a food with a contraceptive drug in, what will the results be? And that's why we're demanding labeling now, especially when we found out what they're doing, what has been all released into the environment with no control.
So what do you say is a good thing that way, but the bad thing that way is a good thing?
Is there a balance? I think key to the question is GM always bad?
Well, at the present time, we don't know what may happen in the future if they would get drought-resistant plants or certain things like that. But scientists in Canada tell me if all work was geared to make a plant drought-resistant, it would at least be 25 years from now, because it's more than just transferring a gene. You have to total restructure the whole plant to do that. So it's pretty easy for a company to say, we will have drought-resistant, we'll have that and that. It's a lot different than just transferring a gene to make that plant resistant to a chemical. So when you go into drug resistance and all that, you then totally restructure, you have to restructure that plant. I should also mention that what we have found in North America and in Canada, that the ability of a plant to take all the nutrients of the soil that it should do is restricted with that transfer of the gene and the new virus and the new bacteria that's in the plant, because you have altered the structure of that plant.
Yes, very briefly. Nitrogen fixation is probably the holy grail for breeders, unless your name's GrowHow and you're a fertilizer producer, of course. But I think the truth is that this is part of the Jam Today promise that is GM. There are claims made, often dubious claims made, particularly by the scientific community, actually, and then the biotech companies have to go around and tidy up afterwards, that these marvelous traits can be achieved in a very short time span. I would suggest that after 15 years, we can look back at the history of GM that we've seen. We've seen these promises made, we've seen the failure to deliver on those promises, for whatever reason, whether it's commercial, legal, or even just too damn difficult to achieve. And then we ought to really start saying, is there another way that we might start to address these things? GM is not the only tool in the box. There are many other tools we can go to, but at the minute we seem to have this fixation on GM when trying to address really important issues like nutritional enhancement, nitrogen fixation, drought tolerance, and saline tolerance.
I don't want to make too much of a matter of discord, but these discussions have been going back well before anyone started talking about organic crops, well before anyone started talking about GM crops. It goes back to the original patents on streptomycin. It goes back a very long way. It goes back 30, 40 years, this argument. And I think it's a much more fundamental argument. As a matter of fact, the GM issue is brought to a head. But the issue, in fact, is about the power of very large corporations motivated by greed to control everybody else and put everybody else out of business and bring all the profit to themselves. This is a very, very central ethical issue of sheer greed and financial greed, and it goes back far further. And the GM one certainly brings it to the surface, but it's much, much deeper.
That's a good point, sir. Any other questions on my left? Can I take the gentleman at the back?
Yes, interesting question.
Your name, sir?
Peter Robinson, very interesting question here. I'm not interested in the other side of this, because I wonder whether that's been exploited to its best effect. We've had this whole issue of Microsoft recently dominating the world. Are they not the equivalent of the antitrust laws in Canada, where Monsanto's size and power within the market might raise our eyebrows, so you could actually try and get them broken up because they have too much power? Has this avenue been approached at all or not?
The power of antitrust laws, you know, the monopoly control of a particular area or particular part of a market. Does Canada not have those checks and balances to stop Monsanto?
We used to have that, but since the regulation came into being, a lot of the laws basically we are saying are now written by the corporations. Now, I'll give an example of that. All the information first of all, the Canadian government, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, which is supposed to test any new product that comes on the market, especially food, they did not do one bit of testing on GMOs. They only used the data supplied to them by Monsanto. And when that became known at my trial, you can imagine the uproar. Now, the Japanese School of Science have taken all that data supplied to the Canadian government by Monsanto about the safety of GMOs and did the complete research over in Japan and a report back to the Health Ministry of Japan, and they said all the documentation supplied to the Canadian government by Monsanto was fraudulent and falsified. That documentation now has been resubmitted back to the Canadian government, and at this time yet we have not heard back from them. So, you know, the power of corporations, and I'm not ashamed to say it, we were subject just a lot, like some of the other countries, to campaign funds and so on in elections, and it's happened by us. And as I said before, we never thought a lot of these things would happen in our country, and it has. I hope I've answered.
Are you satisfied with that?
Well,
seems to be
a core issue. There are no strong anti-monopoly laws operationally in Canada.
No. We used to have the Combines Act law and all that. That's all by the wayside.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Gentlemen at the front, your name.
I'm Eric Barnum. You know, well, most of you here, like, associated with the agricultural industry in general. Are you all from, like, different backgrounds? Well, anyway, I'm a designer, an architect, almost an architect. In my question to you, would be, do you think there's more sort of fundamental problems here, like wrong with, like, maybe the legal system, i.e. common law, human rights? The guy who took the sample off your land was, to me, an act against common law of a simple trespass, getting down to the company Monsanto. They not have a duty of care, as I do as a professional, to research their product before it goes on to the common market. They're not a duty of care responsibility to make sure this product is not harmful. You know, is there no way that they can be sort of found guilty or negligent as such, if you like?
Well, okay, so basically, maybe you should repeat some question.
The core of the question is about what other laws were infringed. Trespass, for instance, common law, and the other, what it's similar to the previous question of what regulatory framework is there. And in the health service we have NICE, who check the drugs before they go into the market to see their impact. There are a series of peer-reviewed tests done before medication is given to
humans.
Is that not the same?
A corporation like that that's full of professionals can be allowed to get away with it, basically, is what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry, it wasn't very clear the way I structured my question.
Okay, I'll address some of that. First of all, Trespassing in Canada is illegal, as in many other countries in the world. But if you, like, if a farmer catches Monsanto's police or Monsanto's representatives in his field and say, you're trespassing, get out, you're violating my rights, yeah. Monsanto will say to the farmer, make me get out of your field.
Yeah.
And a farmer will say, I'll take you to court, and Monsanto says, go right ahead, lay a charge, but you won't have a farmland by the time you're through with you. And I had a young farmer that was very upset. He was threatened. He found Monsanto's police in his field, and he phoned me. I immediately came out to his field, and I was able to get a picture of Monsanto's gene in his field. And then the farmer said, the young farmer said, I want to lay a charge. I took him to the police station, and the police said, the sergeant said, I want to advise you that if you lay a charge, they're going to fight you, and you're going to be in court for a long time. You have to make that decision. And when people hear what it has cost me and other farmers to stand up for Monsanto, they just capitulate. Now, human rights. I think more of the issues come under human rights. We have drastic violations, first of all, because we don't know what's in our food. That's a drastic violation of human rights, because we all should know what's in our food. Secondly, it's a drastic violation of academic freedom, because so much of our research now in Canada is funded by the corporations at our universities, research stations, and so on, and the funding is no longer coming from the public purse. That has to go back to public purse. A scientist's job is to bring that information to the people, and that's why his funding should come, as I said, from the public purse. Drastic violation of human rights. Farmers' human rights being taken away. So what my wife and I did, it took a lot of work. We took Canada as being charged, and we took Canada for human rights violation to the United Nations Human Rights Commission in Geneva. Canada at the present time is charged with drastic violations of human rights and some of the issues I just mentioned, plus others. Canada has not responded yet to the human rights charges. How can Canada now say to other countries of the world, like China, your violation of human rights? We better start cleaning up our own act in Canada. So we tried to bring as far as we could all the legal implications we thought was possible.
Thank you. Good.
Gentlemen, my mother, Nick Ward, farmer. Firstly, you've obviously had a lot of experience with Monsanto. I know that here, at one stage, Agrimo were looking to develop Liberty Link, which was the glufosinate ammonia resistant trait.
Didn't that just say?
Agrimo, another company, were looking to develop the Liberty Link range of herbicide tolerant crops here. Is there any other company in Canada currently supplying GM seed or GM crops, GM licenses, and are their conditions as onerous as Monsanto's? Or is it just Monsanto that are as